Well, hello, my darlings. I trust you've all been keeping well, as the nights draw darker earlier, and the chill whistles through your homes, as you realize you really should put the heating on. Well, have I got some treats in store for you today. Starting with our first listener story, it happened on the stairs.
So one evening, my partner and I were upstairs sorting laundry when my daughter, who's 17, called us downstairs as dinner was ready. I was heading down the stairs, my partner right behind me, literally two steps behind me. He did his usual thing of tickling the back of my neck as we walked. The bottom of our stairs is wooden, so you can hear when somebody steps onto it from the carpeted stairs. When we got to the bottom, my feet hit the floor as usual. I turned to ask him something, and he wasn't there. I totally froze for a second and looked up the stairs, and there he was, on the top step, pale and shaking. I asked him what the hell had just happened, and he kept saying, "I don't know, I don't know, I was behind you, and before I hit the bottom, the next step took me back upstairs." We are very freaked out. We didn't say anything to our daughter, as she is already weary of this stuff, although he and I are somewhat used to it. I'm trying to get the courage to leave my laptop recording overnight because there definitely is something weird happening in this house. In 2013, I got a new BMW 1 Series on lease for 3 years. About a year after I got it, I was parking and chipped my driver's side wheel pretty bad. It was a 3-inch long gouge and was so unsightly. Being a lease car, I didn't want a bill to repair it when the lease was up, so I bought a refurnished alloy wheel off eBay, £160. Factory order would have set me back £340. I had it delivered to my parents' house and kept it there as I didn't have much storage at the time. Tyres were included in the lease, and my intention was to have the new wheel fitted when the tyres were worn. However, the first time I totally forgot, but the next time in 2015 I didn't. I had the wheel with me. The fitter commented that the wheel hadn't been refurnished to a high standard, and he literally had to add about 10 weights in different positions in order to balance it properly. Some 2 months later, on a Sunday, we were having dinner at my parents' house. My dad said, "Are you going to do anything with that spare wheel in the garage? Why not just sell it?" I explained that I'd picked it up and had it fitted. He swore blind it was still in the garage. I swore blind it wasn't. We went into the garage, and there it was, under a gorilla basket sitting atop of a dust sheet, exactly as it was when I picked it up that day. It blew my mind for years. My dad had convinced me I hadn't picked it up. However, when the car was returned in 2016, the lease company instantly picked up on it and charged me £340 for the OEM alloy wheel. It said in the return comments, "Poorly repaired alloy wheel on offside front, not acceptable." I genuinely believe that this was a duplication experience. I've still got the duplicated alloy wheel, and I sure as hell didn't buy two. Has anyone else had an experience like this? I did a lot of traveling in a short period of time during Christmas. I went from Minnesota to Florida and back to Minnesota in a few days, and then 8 hours after I got back from Florida, my boyfriend and I drove to Texas for a night and drove back to Minnesota. This happened on the drive back, so needless to say, I was very, very tired by this point. When we drove down to Texas, there was only one logical route to choose. There were two others, but they were considerably longer drives. However, on the way back, there was another route that was actually somehow an hour faster, and we decided on that one because it didn't take us on the Kansas Turnpike and skip the tolls. Makes sense, right? I've always been kind of obsessed with parallel universes and timelines and paranormal, supernatural stuff, so I probably should have thought a little harder about it, but I just wanted to be home and in bed. It was really late when we finally got out of Kansas City, and a mild snowstorm was just starting to hit. I'm from Central America and have barely seen snow, and we're in Challenger. That's not well equipped for snow, so I was really nervous about driving. But my boyfriend needed to sleep, so I took the next shift. About 2 hours into my shift, I noticed that navigation had taken us basically into the middle of nowhere. The last thing I had seen was a four-way stop with an abandoned gas station and just an abandoned-looking mechanic shop or something. The phone service cut out, the radio cut out, and I hadn't seen a house for miles, a town for even longer. The road was barely wide enough for our car, and the temperature dropped significantly as we drove. The further I went, the lighter the snow got, and instead turned into a heavy fog, like I couldn't see more than just a few feet in front of me. The road was unusually curvy, and the landscape never changed from constant forest. It started to really freak me out when an hour and a half later, there was still nothing. Same landscape, same fog, same narrow road. Not a single car in that whole time span. My service and the radio were still out, and I felt like I was on some kind of treadmill. When it hit 2 hours, I woke up my boyfriend and told him about it. I was starting to get nervous because we were getting close to running out of gas, and I couldn't use my phone to check if we were going to see civilization anytime soon. After another hour, we both really freaked out. The car was almost on empty. We had no way to contact anyone, and we both really needed to pee, but there was no way in hell we were getting out and squatting in the Twilight Zone hell we found ourselves in. Once Challengers hit a certain amount of gas, it just says low and doesn't tell you how many miles you have left. But I was positive we were on fumes at this point. And then I saw the creepy gas station and four-way stop again. Our cell service came back on, the radio suddenly started playing, and the gas tank was back to the three-quarters full it had been when I was there last. But it was 3 hours later. I refused to go straight again and went right instead. And about half an hour later, we came across a town, and the trip went smoothly the rest of the way. I have no idea what happened that night. It freaked the hell out of me, though. I'm going to fly from now on for a bit. This happened approximately 2 years ago. I live alone while my husband worked offshore. I have a dog named Jin who keeps me company at night. It was around 11 p.m. that day, and I had ordered food in after getting back from work. I rarely order in, so I wanted a special night for myself. As always, I decided to shower before eating. Jin was in the room, and he always sleeps by the bathroom door when I shower. So once I got inside the bathroom, I remembered the food that was on the table, which was easily accessible to Jin. I decided to send him outside the room until I finished eating because he cannot be trusted with food packets. When we order food in, we don't let Jin in the room because he goes totally crazy over the smell of chicken and meat and he starts barking unless we keep feeding him. This spoils the movie and food experience for us, and the main reason I had decided to send him out in the first place. So I stepped out of the bathroom, and I sent him out of the room. I live in a duplex with my in-laws. My room is not accessible from inside the house. It's a big room that only has one door to come in and go out. The door opens into the street, with 2 feet of gap. The compound wall is too low, and anyone can climb inside. So I'm always extra careful. After I sent the dog out, I locked the doors completely. They are old double doors and can be kicked down easily. I live in a sketchy area and you can't be too careful in India. I turn the key twice, lock the 2 bolts, and I place the key on the table. After I got back from the shower, I sat on the bed, played the movie, and started eating. After some time, I heard a slight thud from under the bed. I didn't give it much thought. It's unusually quiet outside because when I send him out, Jin smells the food and keeps scratching the door for some time. But there was nothing. I hear more shuffling under the bed, and again, I felt a thud like someone was trying to get comfortable, and my heart stops. I look under the bed, And there is Jin staring back at me. I froze. I didn't know what to think or do. How did he get in? And why is he so quiet today? Any other day he would be sitting in front of me, drooling and barking. No such thing today. He's quiet. He lies back down. I go outside to double check because I was 1000% sure that I had sent him outside and locked the door. I immediately called my husband because I was freaking out. We were both trying to come up with any explanation to this freak incident. What could have caused this? This unmistakable glitch and change in my dog's behaviour? Tonight, I'm babysitting two kids, 3 and 6 years old. I see them daily as they go to their home daycare next door to my house. Tonight, I'm watching them at their house, which I've done a few times before with no issues. The family is super normal, really nice mum and dad, big house, 2 sweet kids. Basically, nothing strange has ever stood out to me about this family. When I first got here today, they told me the 3-year-old had a long day and was tired. Sure enough, within 30 minutes of me being here, he falls asleep on the couch. So I carried him up to his bed, and from there I've been sitting and hanging out with the 6-year-old for a few hours. She's been on her iPad basically the whole time, me on my laptop. We've been in the living room for about 2 hours, her on the couch and me on the recliner. It's been completely silent, other than random noises from her iPad. All of a sudden, the lamp next to me shut off on its own. At first, I didn't think anything of it. I figured maybe it was motion activated, or it was on a timer or something. Then, all of a sudden, the little girl looks up from her iPad, stares at the lamp for a few seconds, and whispers, "Okay." She then gets up, closes the blinds, then walks over to me and whispers, "It's time to go to the other room." And so I asked her if the lamp always does that, and she shook her head, no, and looked at me very seriously. I asked her why she closed the blinds and why we have to go in the other room, and she basically just keeps saying, "It's just time." So I'm officially creeped out. She won't answer any of my questions, and she's just acting so serious, like too serious for a 6-year-old. Not to mention, this is very unlike her personality. She's usually silly and dancing around and stuff. She finally went to sleep. The younger child woke up 5 times screaming and screaming the moment I left his room, so I sat in with him for the rest of the night. I explored the house a bit. It's huge, and I found a ton of weird rooms, like small weird doors that were just used for storage. I don't know if that's relevant, but when I brought the girl up to bed, I realised there was a small door at the end of her bed near the wall, and there was like a whole room in there that you can go into. It was just filled with boxes. The parents came home and I told them about the lamp, which they agreed was very strange. I didn't want to tell them what the girl was acting like. I figured it wasn't fair to freak them out, but based on the reaction of the lamp, I strongly got the vibe that strange things happening at their house maybe isn't so strange. So this happened to me in 2009. I was 22 at the time, but I'm very short and often mistaken for a young teen. I had just had a driving lesson, and while normally my instructor would drop me off in front of my home at the end of our lessons, that day he had somewhere to be straight after and dropped me off at a nearby bus stop. My apartment block was about 500 metres away, at the end of a long stretch of quiet road. It was an area that was built up at the time, so there were a couple of abandoned old houses to the left and right, and my apartment block at the very end, and that's it. It was rare to see cars there that weren't just going straight back to the apartment block, because there was just nothing there, except for a clinic a couple of streets away, so you could occasionally get someone who is lost looking for directions. It's about 8 p.m, and it had just got dark outside. The street is barely lit, but it only takes a few more minutes to get from the bus stop to my house, so I don't think anything of it, until a car drives past me, but then starts backing up until it's driving slowly beside me. A woman is driving, and a man is in the passenger seat. I sort of slow down, thinking they're going to ask me for directions to the clinic. The woman asks, "Do you live here?" So I'm thinking they definitely want directions, and I stop and say yes. But then she says, We are the police and we are going to take you home. Mind you, this is a totally normal vehicle. These people aren't in uniform or look in any way official. Literally, so stunned, all I can say is something like, you're taking the piss. Immediately, I'm thinking these people think I'm like 10 and they're trying to kidnap me. The woman is starting to get agitated and keeps repeating, you have to respect the police, get in the car and we will take you home. I am so shocked. I'm like, how dare you? Partly offended that someone would think people are stupid enough to fall for this. At this point, the car stopped, and I see the woman moving to open the door. So I burst into the fastest sprint of my life while fumbling with my phone to call my mum, screaming before I even got to the block. Buzz me now, I'm in danger. My dad looked out for me immediately after, but the car was nowhere in the area. He informed the police, but nothing ever came of it. I've always been super creeped out by this experience, and often find myself wondering what their intentions were. This is something that happened a couple of months ago, and I can't stop thinking about it. My roommate went to hang out with a guy she had just met and was interested in. She had talked to him a few other times, but didn't know him too well yet. So I was home alone in our apartment, and I was going to bed. I always put my phone on silent when I go to sleep, and I leave it on my bedside table. I was just about to fall asleep when I heard a loud, deep voice scream, "Wake up!" I shot up, and my heart was pounding. I looked around, and there was no one in the room. I grabbed my phone from the table because I was going to check to see if anyone was in my apartment, and I wanted to have it on me to call 911 if needed. Right as I grabbed my phone, my roommate started calling me. I answered, and apparently she had gone back to the guy's house and he was starting to get really creepy. I won't go into specifics, but he said some crazy things to her that made her feel unsafe. She was calling me from his bathroom, telling me to come pick her up. She doesn't have a car. My phone was on silent. If I hadn't have heard that voice, I wouldn't have grabbed my phone and known she was calling me. There's no way to know for sure, but something really bad could have happened to her that night. Whatever it was that told me to wake up, I guess it was looking out for her. It scared the hell out of me, though. When I was about 10 years old, I would stay up all night on the computer playing games. My computer was upstairs in my living room, which was connected to my kitchen. My mum and my sister's room is also upstairs down a short hallway. I was terrified of the dark growing up, because my parents would leave me home alone, and I would always hear doors closing downstairs, so I kept the kitchen light on when I was in the living room. So one night, after my dad dropped me off at my mum's late at night, I hopped on the computer after turning on the kitchen light and TV. After a few hours pass, I hear my sister's door open from down the hallway, so I spin around in the computer chair to see what she's doing up so late. I couldn't see her face, but from what I could tell, it looked like a girl my sister's height, so I instantly thought it was her without even questioning. 'Cause who else would it be? I said her name while asking her what she was doing, and I got no response from her. She just walked out from the hallway, turned the kitchen light off, and walked back into her room, shutting the door behind her. I instantly got the chills, but I just assumed she was sleepwalking. I went downstairs and slept in my mum's room because I was a little shook by what had happened. I woke up in the morning to get breakfast, and when I went upstairs, my sister's door was wide open, but my sister was nowhere to be seen. I asked my mum where she was, and she told me she stayed the night at her friend's house last night, and she still hadn't come home. I got the worst feeling when she told me that, and thought to myself, what if I walked up to whoever that girl was, or if she looked at me? It's 9 years later, and I still cannot process what happened that night. I'm still shook from it. So you're probably going to think I'm crazy, maybe. But crap happens, and sometimes the craziest things make the most sense. So my husband and I were bringing some goodies out to his grandmother's house, who lives quite a way away from civilization, 15 miles to the nearest gas station. And my husband carried all the whatnots into the house, while I stayed out and was pulling a couple of weeds out of the garden for her. Her small chinchilla Brutus ran up to me, we were buddies, and I kind of played with him for a little bit, and laughed as he barked at cars driving by like he was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I thought it was strange that he wasn't on his line Grandma used to keep him on that gave him freedom, but wouldn't let him go in the road and get squished. He was never outside without being hooked to it. So he followed me up the porch and nearly tripped me doing it. I grabbed his chain and turned around to hook him up to it, and he was gone. I panicked and ran inside where everyone was crying. Naturally, I asked what was wrong. They told me Brutus died last night. They think he was poisoned. I told them that that was impossible, that I was just playing with him outside. I even told them about him almost tripping me up going up the porch. So they brought out his corpse to prove it to me. They asked my husband to bury him. Had I not seen his poor body, I never would have believed it. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, so I did a bit of both. We buried him that day out back, and kids in the neighbourhood say they still see and play with Brutus all the time. He's becoming quite the neighbourhood legend in the community she lives in because of the numerous sightings and reports. Some refuse to believe that he died because they see and interact with him so much. I've never been around such an alive-seeming spirit before. It's actually both exciting and unnerving. But the more time goes by, the more we all get used to it, and it brings Grandma a sense of joy every time she hears another neighbour say they saw her ghost dog again. She fills with pride and talks for hours to anyone who will listen about her little Brutus, especially new people. Apparently, Brutus's latest shenanigans is stopping cars in front of the house. People she doesn't know come to her door and ask her to get her dog out of the road, and she shocks the hell out of them when she says simply, "Oh, run him over, it won't hurt him." She's even been called names for being cruel and neglectful to her animals. That is until they find out they've encountered the neighbourhood's favourite ghost dog. So, I've been living alone in a foreign country for a year already. The last few months I've been taking the ferry as transportation because the metro is usually crowded, stressful, and in COVID times is a no for me, so the ferry is always the best option. At least, that was my thought until this week. On Monday, a random guy, probably in his 30s, sat next to me on the ferry and tried to talk. I'm not good with the language yet, so I let him understand I didn't know what he was saying. He kept talking and showed me his phone. He had just taken a picture of me. I asked him to delete it, but he didn't understand, so I just ignored him to make him stop. It was irrelevant at that moment. On Tuesday, I noticed the guy was on the ferry again, but this time he greeted me and called me by my name, which of course surprised me since I don't know him. He sat next to me and kept talking non-stop, but this time he went over familiar and tried to hug me. For my luck, a woman noticed it and sat between him and me, pretending to be my friend. On Wednesday, I used the metro instead of the ferry, so it was normal. On Thursday, I took a ferry, and this guy was there again. This time, he sat far away. When my ferry reached the other side, I noticed the guy was following me, so I changed route and went to a bus stop, which is just next to the ferry port. As it was late at night, there wasn't so many people around. I was scared, so I sat in the bus stop, and there was a couple waiting there, so I then felt a bit safer. But the stalker came and sat next to me, and suddenly held my arm while saying, "Come, come, come," and trying to take me with him. At this moment, I just held his arm tight and asked for help. The couple next to me called the police, and I did the report. I mentioned that on Monday he was taking pictures of me, and that he might be doing the same thing with other girls. The police asked him for his phone, and to my surprise, he handed it to them with no problems, like he was sure nothing was going to happen to him. When the police checked his phone, they found pictures of me, but not just from Monday. This guy had been taking pictures of me for months. Not just on the ferry, but also in the parking site, and even outside my home. Besides my pictures, they found pictures of different girls, which I believe he has been following for months as well. The worst thing about this whole situation is that I filled in the report to the police, but they couldn't do anything because the guy hadn't hurt me. So right now, I'm looking for a new place to move. Be careful to all of you. These creeps can be everywhere. Back in July 2018, me and my three best friends decided to go on vacation to Barcelona. The four of us, all females, were 18 at the time and had just finished our freshman year of college. For context, we had planned this trip for several months, but the lazy asses that we were took our time before booking our flights and Airbnb. We eventually started our search in May, and if you have ever been to Barcelona, you might know it's already pretty late if you want to find an affordable and well-located summer accommodation. We ended up scrolling on several websites for days, as everything was way out of our budget. One of my friends finally found this very decent studio located near the Ramblas, a very touristy neighbourhood. The condo was actually located on a narrow street that was perpendicular to the main Rambla. You had to walk about 500 metres until you arrived at the sketchier end of the street, where the flat was. It really didn't bother us, as the building was pretty secure. You had to open the first front door that led to the streets. Then you had to take the stairs to the second floor, where you had a second door which required another key. This second door led to three condos, so we had a third and final key to our personal flat. This final door did not have any outside handle, which meant that if we were to leave without our keys, we would end up locked out. There was finally no outside handle on the balcony door either. You could only open the door from the inside. The front door of our complex led to the main room, which is where two of my friends were sleeping. The bed was on the left, and at the end of the room was the living room, which also worked as a kitchen and a bedroom. The sofa was foldable where my third friend and I were sleeping. We were there for 5 nights. As the young women that we were, our daily routine was pretty consistent. We would go clubbing every night, go home at around 4 a.m, pass out on our beds, and wake up at 11. We'd visit the city up until 7 p.m. and then get ready to repeat. Our first 3 nights were awesome. We had some male friends who were staying in Barcelona too, so we'd meet up with them and it was fun. Yet the fourth night was rather creepy. We had gone home at 4 a.m. I screwed around with my friends for another hour and fell asleep by 5. Around 7:30 a.m, my friend who was sleeping with me in the living room and who suffers from sleep paralysis wakes up as she feels something tickling her ankle. She opens her eyes and sees someone crouching at the end of the bed, his hand on her ankle, as if he was looking for something under the bed. At this moment, she is convinced that she's experiencing sleep paralysis again, but the fear makes her sit up in bed and shout, "What the fuck?" which rarely happens with sleep paralysis, as your muscles are often numb. The shouting wakes me up. I see the guy too, at the end of the bed, and still half asleep, I whisper, "Edward?" I think I've been dreaming about a friend of mine and confuse this guy with him. The guy gets scared, suddenly gets up, stares at us, and then tiptoes away, saying, "Oops, oops, oops." He walks past the bed where my friends are dead asleep and walks out the front door. My friend and I stayed up for a long time talking about what we had just experienced. Then we woke the other girls up and told them the story. We never knew how this guy broke into our flat. He didn't steal anything. Even though we had left out our credit cards, IDs, phones, and cash on the table. The only thing is that night, we did not lock the front door. but it was closed, so normally no one could open it as there was no handle, unless someone had a key. We chose not to talk to the police about it because of this, as they could have told us that we were responsible for not locking the door properly. We also chose not to tell the landlord for the same reason, but also because we didn't want to ruin our last day there. We tried contacting our neighbours, the Italian guys. We went to their flat and knocked, but they never opened the door. Looking back at it, we should have definitely done something about it, and we shouldn't have stayed there for another minute. But we were too young, I guess. We could never figure what the guy wanted, nor what he was looking for under the bed. None of this makes sense, to be fair. Why would someone come to someone's place uninvited to look for something at 7:30 in the morning while the occupants are asleep? I guess we'll never know.
Well, that's it, kittens. We're all done here for tonight. Join me next time for more thrills, more chills, and lots of creepy, strange, but true tales from my creepy files.